We will not comply with the institution's sick illusion. No, it won't be televised. Welcome to the revolution.
About sort of a one world order that they're moving toward. And this is not a conspiracy theory, Alex, this is a conspiracy. And what we have to understand is that the big take is the United States of America. We're in this battle between really competing ideologies, and this is no kidding. And the competing ideologies is whether we're going to continue on as a democracy and a constitutional republic, or whether we're going to go become a communist country. My father was a World War II vet, and my mom, right, thank God that she decided to have as many kids as she did, they handed my brothers and sisters on a silver platter a beautiful country, okay? I am not about to take that platter that I was given and turn it over to my children and my grandchildren as a communist country. Politically, people have to get active. When somebody says to me or somebody says to you, and around the Thanksgiving table here coming up, if you could afford the turkeys that might be on the shelves, and they say, well, I don't do that political thing. Politics is for whatever. Then you know what? Then you better not complain, because our entire lives right now, everybody, every American, their lives are wrapped around politics right now. If you don't think that something's changing, you don't feel the way I feel right now, you don't feel the way these 5,000 people out here feel, then something's wrong. What we're really facing is an attack or an assault on all of our basic rights. I mean, I think the real issue here in play is the attack on freedom of speech. You have this incredibly failed foreign policy by the Biden administration. You have, you know, more and more very clear evidence coming out about COVID and really the conspiracy behind COVID and some of the things that are happening with it. I applaud you for, it was one of your interviews 10 years ago, probably 10 years ago, may have been more than 10 years ago now, where you actually were talking about these issues, and you covered it for quite a while actually at that time. And I think that you got a lot of bashing by, you know, by others in the media and by others around the world, because it was like, oh, this guy Alex, you know, he doesn't know what he's talking about. And lo and behold, here we are a decade later, and they have implemented this strategy, this Great Reset strategy.
The globalists have said in their white papers, in their own UN documents, that they want to create race-specific bioweapons and other systems to depopulate the planet. A lot of this from my sources is that they're preparing to release bioweapons, claim that they're naturally occurring, and then use that as the cover for civil emergency, societal control, crackdowns on free speech. Obama put the internet kill switch in 5 years ago, and when he got confronted by it by Congress, he said, well, it's in case the bird flu or SARS gets out. Just type that in. CDC says internet kill switch is in case bird flu or SARS breaks out, and they have to control panic and direct every website in the U.S. to one government announcement. And we looked at every angle and believe a bioweapon release could be the thing they'd release to bring in a world government to counter a global problem. And the UN has said that a global pandemic is the only thing that may save their world government.
Wow, General Flynn, thank you for taking time out while you're visiting Texas here at this giant crowd to hear you speak in San Antonio to talk to InfoWars. Last time we talked was on January 5th at the Willard Hotel.
How about that?
Wow.
A lot of things are happening and have happened.
Yes, sir.
Amazing.
Well, I know you've got a lot to brief the American people on the short time we have, but just from my perspective, the Great Reset and the UN, they've bragged that they're using COVID as the pretext mm-hmm. to take the world over. Yeah. And I see so many of our leaders don't talk about that. Even the good ones like Senator Paul and Ted Cruz and others. I know you've been aware of that and aware of some of the war games they've had, how they would use COVID to take over. Mm-hmm. Can you speak from your military background just in general about the Great Reset and how important you think it is to get nationalist, Christian, conservative, populist leaders to understand, because I've seen you talk about this, that COVID's being used as a pretext for a UN takeover. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, so I think that what people have to understand, when you look at the people that are running these organizations like the World Health Organization, World Trade Organization, the World Bank, and you dig down a couple of layers into the kinds of evidence that we have now discovered about COVID and the treatments for COVID, and you start to look at the reasons behind it, which is, you know, vis-a-vis the Great Reset, I think what people have to understand now is that this is no longer, and they're not even talking about it being a health crisis. This is about a control mechanism in order to take over, I mean, the not only the United States, but the world. This weekend and last weekend, they had, as it led into the World Economic Forum, right? So this weekend is the World Economic Forum. It's going on right now. And I think, I pay attention to these kinds of things and the types of agendas that they're following and the talking points that come out of them and the various topics that they talk about. And this is all about sort of a one world order that they're moving toward. And this is not a conspiracy theory, Alex. This is a conspiracy. And what we have to understand is that the big take is the United States of America. So it's been going on for decades. This is not, in fact, actually, I applaud you for, it was one of your interviews 10 years ago, probably 10 years ago, may have been more than 10 years ago now, where you actually were talking about these issues and you covered it for quite a while, actually, at that time.
And just everything we talk about here, the magnitude is off the chart. I mean, I'm not even worthy to be bringing you information this powerful. And I hope that you pay attention to what we cover here minute by minute. Because I've had chills since last night. This just confirms everything else we've already researched. But Rockefeller study envisions future dictatorship controlled by elite. Millions being killed, mandatory quarantines, checkpoints, the end of the family. Everything that's in the other documents. But this dovetails with all the other Rockefeller Foundation documents about the GMO food to sterilize you and the forced vaccines and the hell we're already living in that's just going to continue to intensify until we take our governments back from these eugenics madmen. I pray to God, I pray to my Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, every night to give me the strength and the will to be able to face this horror and to give me the strength to carry on, because I know why a lot of you don't want to look at this information and just want to comment on the YouTube videos or on message boards that I'm a liar. I know why, because it's scary. And if you admit this to yourself, you're not going to be able to go to the ball games anymore. You're not going to be able to just go out and get drunk with your friends. You're not going to be able to just, you know, go out and enjoy yourself all the time and not spend some of your energy on resisting this. And once you face this information, once you've consciously admitted it to yourself, it will take over your life. It should take over your life. Well, I mean, what else? What else could it do? The only chance we've got of beating this scientific dictatorship, this creeping death that takes its time to incrementally enslave you, mentally, psychologically, physically, spiritually, the only way to defeat it is for the rank and file of this planet to realize that you have a choice to make on what your destiny is going to be. Win, lose, or draw. You need to choose a side. You need to spend some time this afternoon, this evening, over the weekend to close the shutters, to sit there in your easy chair, and to just sit back and think about the claims I've made here and decide on whether or not you're going to research the information we've laid out. Because this information is too important. I do not want you to simply sit here and listen to what I've said and then go out on message boards and say, Alex Jones says they want to reduce our population, that they are poisoning us, and that they're incrementally increasing the amount of poisons and genetic manipulation that's going on.
And I think that you got a lot of bashing by, you know, by others in the media and by others around the world, because it was like, oh, this guy, Alex, you know, he doesn't know what he's talking about. And lo and behold, here we are a decade later, and they have implemented this strategy, this Great Reset strategy. So people can go read the Great Reset book. They can dig deep into all of the aspects of the things that are coming out of these different organizations that now, you know, bringing it from the sort of the Great Reset and the world view, bringing it into the view of the United States of America and what is happening with our administration right now. So they are taking the COVID crisis, and I call it this COVID tyranny, and they are using it to basically go after, and it is a total assault on our Bill of Rights, top to bottom, not just our ability to be able to speak freely and have a conversation like this. And what I'm telling people now is go back and look at the Bill of Rights. They're very simple. It's a very simple document to read. Read them, and I mean read them. You know, when at the end of this show, break them out. Or if you're watching this show, break them out and start reading them, because every single one of them is being threatened by this Great Reset, every single one. And I think if people that are following what I'm doing or what's happening in my life and everything that's happening in yours as well, with all of this stuff with the January 6th, they call it the insurrection crucifixion, because that's what it is. And in a way, you know, from a biblical sense, Nancy Pelosi's like the Pontius Pilate of this operation that they are doing to basically steal away all of the other aspects of what's happening across this country. Like, you got the Durham report, right? Whatever comes out of that, the Durham investigation's ongoing. And there's been a lot of things dropped in the recent days, recent couple of weeks, about indictments from that. So, and we're learning a lot more about that.
And that's another thing I wanted to ask you
so
about.
We'll talk about that.
Well, how vindicated, we'll go back to Great Reset in a moment, but that's, you know, the Great Tyranny, that's the generals running it on the bad guy side. But how vindicated do you feel now that it's come out that Russiagate was indeed completely manufactured to stop you from giving Trump real advice?
Get Flynn to get Trump. The lead FBI agent, his name is Barnett. He did a 302, which is basically a testimonial under oath in October of 2020. You can find it online. Barnett, he was the lead agent in Crossfire Hurricane, and he basically said, get Flynn to get Trump. That's what the whole thing was about, and it was a total setup. So, yeah, I mean, vindicated. I always knew, you know, where I was at with this whole mess. But these are things that are in the news today. COVID is another one. The whole idea about election security and all the fraud that keeps coming out.
Let's speak to that, because the Democrats were all over election integrity and security until 2020. Now you're not supposed to talk about it. Right. They'll censor you if you even try to discuss that. But I thought the State Department and our own government goes around the world to grade other people's elections, but now they don't want our elections graded.
Right, at all. So there is a great documentary that was that the Democrats basically put together. And I mean, in the 2020 timeframe, to prepare for a potential loss to Trump, and so, and every one of them, and it's all these various senators from the Democratic side of the aisle, so to speak, that talked about how the machines, how mail-in ballots, everything's fraudulent. It's all fraught with fraud. I mean, it's an incredible testimony to what we know to have been happening in our country, and it's been happening for over 100 years. Election fraud or fraudulent activity in our elections has been happening since around the turn of the last century. So we're kidding ourselves by saying, oh, there's no fraud. And all of a sudden we have a presidential election. So to go back one step on the election, in 2016, I believe, based on what we've learned in the last 9 months, 10 months, that I believe that there was massive fraud conducted in the 2016 election. They just didn't have the mail-in ballots. So they used the machines to manipulate, but Donald Trump in that case essentially ran the tables, and he outdid the algorithms, you know, this word that everybody's learned, the algorithms of these machines, and he beat the odds, and he became president. And then for 4 years, they tried to take him out. They tried to cut him off at the knees every single day, and that story is still being told. And so what they decided, and I think that they decided this right after the 2016 election, they said this is never going to happen again. We're never going to have another election that we're not going to control the outcome of. And so kick in COVID, right? Bring in COVID, bring in the COVID control mechanisms. And very, very smart. They did it in a very masterful way. I give them a lot of credit. It's like military strategy at its finest. And what they did was they used the COVID control mechanisms to bring in the whole mail-in ballot, right? There's so much fraud in mail-in ballot. Everybody has always said
And
that.
Now they're trying to bring in it again for the midterms coming
well,
up.
Well, I mean, and I think that two big events that just occurred politically was the Virginia elections and the New Jersey gubernatorial elections. And I still, as I sit here today, I don't think that they have finished the counting. I mean, Youngkin won hands down because, again, he sort of beat the odds. And frankly, it wasn't necessarily because Youngkin's a great guy. He is. It wasn't because he ran a great campaign. He did. It was because they attacked the children of this country. And the moms in Virginia stepped up. The moms and dads in Virginia stepped up, particularly in places like Loudoun County and Fairfax County. But I understand they haven't even completed the count. They basically shut the count down in Fairfax County. And so it's not, even if they count it, it's not going to change the outcome of Virginia. And so what Youngkin needs to do as soon as he gets into the job, he needs, day one, to go to Fairfax County and say, I want to do a complete, thorough audit of that, at least that county, because I guarantee there was fraud. Then you jump to New Jersey, where the individual who won the night of the election, he goes home that night, high fives, he does a big victory speech, we won. He gets up the next morning, and I think it was 40,000. There was some number of votes. I think the number that sticks in my head was 40,000 from one or two counties. Bergen County is the one that I think that I remember reading about. And so he gets up the next morning. It's like, oh, sorry, you didn't win. It's now back to Murphy. And so in New Jersey, for the people of New Jersey that are going to watch this, I know I saw the I think it's Chiarelli. I think that's how he says his name. He came out with a great statement, a public statement, video, and he said, "Here's what we're going to do. We're going to let this thing play out. We're going to do another count of everything." So what he's going to have to do is he's going to have to fight tooth and nail because the lawfare is going to kick in, and that's what kicked in after the 2020 election.
Oh, believe me.
I mean,
we've been
part of this thing, and organizations that I'm supporting or behind, we've been part of fighting back to try to make sure that we're, all we want to do, you know, if the outcome was that Joe Biden won fair and square, no problem. It's like a football game or it's an athletic contest.
But they don't want us to go back and look at the instant replay. And just to encapsulate that, and we have Patrick Byrne going to come in here soon and talk with us and others about what's currently happening. But just basic strategies, looking at this, traveling the country, talking to all the experts, doing your own research. You've been very articulate. I've seen you talk about it. But what are some basic things the American people can do and that Congress and the states and the legislatures and some of the good senators we have can do to get past the intimidation when we're told don't investigate, don't call for election security, don't call for election integrity? What can we do to get people moving in the right direction to make sure they don't steal 2022?
Good question. So first of all, courage is a decision, okay? Courage is not something that is in your DNA. It might be, but at the end of the day, courage is a decision that you have to make. And people that you that wouldn't normally step up in a time of crisis are the least expected type of person. So I want people to really understand that do not fear, what's in front of them, and think about how you're going to demonstrate courage, because it's a decision, and people across this country have to make that decision. So I use the phrase local action has a national impact. And there's great examples out there. There's examples in Iowa. There's examples, I just was given one from Ohio, where people stepped in to the local level and they overturned their school boards. They overturned the town council or the mayors of their cities, because these were essentially socialists that were running these school boards. I mean,
I totally agree with you. Klaus Schwab gave a three-hour speech yesterday. I think you alluded to that, talking about how the Davos groups meeting right now. And he kept saying, we've got to go local. We've got to take over there. Because they know that's where we're going to fight back.
The other thing is that, look at your local newspaper. Okay, look at the local newspaper and look at who owns it. You know, is it owned by Gannett? Is it owned by NBC? Is it owned by USA Today? And then you take it up a notch. And for decades, for a couple of decades, there's been a very, very big shift and an intentional move to purchase a lot of these local newspapers around the country. And you kind of go, why is there such a lousy article in this newspaper, you know, in whatever gazette, right? And you kind of look at it and you go, what the heck? And it's because there is a concerted effort by this elite body of people that have lots of money, and they have a desire to take this country over and shift completely, do an ideological shift in this country. So back to local. Why has there been so much visibility about school boards and school board activity around this country? You kind of say to yourself, where did these people come from? Why did school boards get like this? Part of it is that we have taken for granted our freedoms, and we have not gotten involved. We just sort of take it for granted that, oh, you know, Alex, this guy Alex, he's on the school board. And you go, well, where'd Alex come from? Well, who is he? What is his background? And all of a sudden, we're finding out that we have these what I call democratic socialists that are on these school boards, because the education system is the way to change the entire culture of a country.
And they brag about that.
And they brag about it. They write about it. They've been talking about it for decades. This is not something that happened because of Donald Trump. This has been going on for decades. And people need to understand.
I agree.
That.
I think Trump and people like you help draw out the communists. Yeah. Let's call them what they are. Democratic socialists is a good term, but they're really globalist communists. And you and others have helped draw them out. What would you call that militarily, where we're at right now as a culture? And then tie that back into January 6th and the attempt, the official U.S. government policy, as you know, since June when Biden signed it, is no longer is China or Russia or radical Islam the main international or domestic threat. Now we're told it's people that question elections and people that question lockdowns, and now they've extended it. Just came out 2 days ago that it was the Justice Department went to the National Association of School Boards and said, we actually want you to write this letter calling for the feds to come in. So now we know there's a conscious move to declare people going to PTA meetings that are upset about critical race theory or their daughter getting raped by a man in a skirt, literally being branded as terrorist. Mm-hmm. So from a guy that helped, you know, that ran military intelligence, a guy that was the top national security advisor who understands how this works in layman's terms, how big a deal is it to have the entire corporate media system and the Democratic Party trying to brand the American people in general as terrorists? What does that signify?
Yeah, I mean, so it basically they are creating two big camps, and the larger camp is what they're trying to identify those of us, like myself, right? We are these domestic terrorists. We are these domestic, you know, we're going to, whatever, we're going to, you know, break out and start fighting or something. Really where we are, and this started on the 3rd of November, you know, from a military perspective, the phrase that, or the word that I would use is we're in kind of a retrograde operation. And in a retrograde operation, you're moving backwards, you're going backwards a little bit. You still have your footing, but you're looking for weaknesses in their armor because you want to conduct a counterattack or a counteroffensive in some cases, right? So we're in this battle between really competing ideologies, and this is no kidding. And the competing ideologies is whether we're going to continue on as a democracy and a constitutional republic, or whether we're going to go become a communist country. I mean, The other camp that you described, the you know, the big media, the tech titans, the socialists in the political spectrum of really, you know, we really haven't said Democratic and Republican parties, right? Because it's really not that. It's sort of a large base of conservatives in this country who I would identify, and I would say they are on both sides of the former aisle, right? They're both Democrats and the Republicans because—
People like Manchin.
People like me, okay? I'm a lifelong Democrat. Right, I'm registered as a Republican now because I just moved, but I'm a lifelong Democrat, you know. So, but I'm pro-life, I'm pro-family, I'm pro-America, I'm pro-business. I mean, so, but I as I watch what's happening, and I've been, and as you know, to your question about my time in the military, I saw this, I certainly saw this from a foreign perspective, and I watched as I became more senior in our government and in the apparatus, particularly of the intelligence community. I watched internally the kinds of things that were happening inside of our country, and they were happening because there are elements outside of the country that do try to continue to influence. the communist ideologues, the Chinese Communist Party, the Russians. I mean, they are infiltrating into our country, and they have been for a long time. And what they do is they get inside of our government, and they recruit, and they turn people, and they also bring a lot of wealth in some cases. And then you get the elite crowd from out of the European Union. Again, for your smart listeners, which you have many, pay attention to this Davos stuff, because this is not conspiracy theory. The fact that I say it, they're going to go, oh, Flynn's a right-wing nut. No, this is real stuff.
They're now declaring world government.
These are real people, and they want total control. COVID and the tyranny that they have us under with COVID, because COVID is a real thing. It's a real type of sickness, but what they're doing is all about control. And in order to control the population, they have to get total control in order to be able to do the kinds of things that we're doing. So where are we from a military perspective now moving forward, taking that offensive? And I believe the only way that we're going to do it, because we're not going to, not everybody is a Washington, D.C. superstar. Not everybody, I like to say, is not everybody is a Joan of Arc. So what we've got to do is we've got to find these little flowers around the country. We've got to find these brave people. We've got to find these people that are willing to make that decision about standing up and being courageous in their local communities. And if people don't get involved in their communities and they give up their communities, then you're going to give up this country. And so, you know, you can't, not everybody can jump into Washington, D.C. And I'm tired of with a lot of people, you know, the audience. I mean, anybody that says, well, it's those bastards. They're the problem. Those people in Washington, D.C., the politicians, we put them there. We put them there just like we put people on the school board, on these school boards.
Well, General Flynn, let me just 100% agree with you that this is not about Democrat or Republican. This is about Americans that are loyal to the country and want to continue to live in a free market capitalist nation, right, with our Bill of Rights, whether we want to live under globalism that runs Hollywood and is demonizing the country and trying to divide us to conquer us. And you're right. It is the Davos Group that's bragging. Klaus Schwab's own Wikipedia has links to his own website says he wants to capture countries and cut out the general public from leadership and only have international, corporate, and UN stakeholders in control. These are quotes. Imagine if you published that you wanted to capture the government, you'd be called a wannabe dictator. Well, they're not just wannabe. Through the Great Reset,
yeah, they give me the Roger Stone treatment, is what they would. If I said that, I'd have 50 guys with helicopters and boats, you know, showing up to my hotel room that I'm staying. I mean,
exactly. They lie and say that you're saying that when you never said anything near
right,
that. And meanwhile,
right,
Schwab is saying that. You're right. Right. I'm saying as a military right, leader, how yeah, do we identify the globalists? How do we get Congress and people that are good patriots to realize who the enemy is? Because in the past, okay, it was the Cold War. Yeah. Okay, in the past, it was the Nazis. We get it. We get together. We defeat them. This is multinational corporations bragging that they've right, captured America. And I can't get these senators and people to talk about it. I've talked to them privately. They go, well, the public's not ready for that. We'll be discredited. Well, we're in a war, yeah, not identifying who's attacking us. So like you said earlier, you'll be attacked for identifying that Schwab says he's capturing the planet.
So the American people right now, and I can tell you, I feel like I have a good sort of fingertip sense of the American sentiment. And the Republican Party, they better stand up here quickly, because they are missing the point. The Republican leadership, and there's very, very, very few of them that actually stand up and say something. And you kind of wonder, with everything that's going on, why don't, as you're saying, you know, I mean, I think that these guys like Ted Cruz, we're here in Texas, somebody else like a Rand Paul, I mean, there's a couple of others. Those are senators, and then you have a couple of congressmen that still are vocal about certain things. But I don't hear any of them, none of them talking about this conversation right here. It's almost as they look at this and they say, this is politics as usual. We're going to get it back in 2022. So I don't know where I need to look for your audience to look at your audience, but I'm going to tell you, if you think that Nancy Pelosi is going to give up the leadership to Kevin McCarthy in 2022 after they stole the presidential election, so that's why we have to be so active at our local level. And I mean, get it. Like, I met a woman. I just stood a long line to get some photos taken with these great Americans, and a woman comes up to me and says, I just became a precinct volunteer. And I gave her a big hug. I mean, that's the kind of activism. And I think the numbers that I've been given from that I've seen from the Republican Party, and you know, tell me I'm wrong, But I think we have somewhere in near 200,000 positions that are unfilled. There's somewhere as close to 32,000 precinct positions that are unfilled by the Republican Party. The Democrats are masters at this. They call them volunteers. They're paid. They give, and they call
them. There are thousands of races where Democrats run unopposed.
You know, we use the phrase precinct captains. Yeah. Precinct captains. The Democrats have precinct bosses, and they get in there and they run these precincts. So, politically, people have to get active. When somebody says to me or somebody says to you in around the Thanksgiving table here, coming up, if you could afford the turkeys that might be on the shelves. And they say, well, I don't do that political thing. Politics is for whatever. Then you know what? Then you better not complain, because our entire lives right now, everybody, every American, their lives are wrapped around politics right now. If you don't think that something's changing, you don't feel the way I feel right now, you don't feel the way these 5,000 people out here feel, then something's wrong. Okay, you're not paying close enough attention. You're
General,
not listening.
General, you're absolutely right. I think you say it better than anybody out there, that it's about Americans and our sovereignty and controlling our destiny versus multinational corporations who have taken over the Democratic Party, and the Republican Party is not even challenging them at that level. If we just wake up America to what's really happening, this globalist takeover, then we can save the country and turn it around.
Yeah. I tell you what, what's the matter with saying America first? That's not something from Trump. Trump made America, you know, his thing is make America great again, and that's a great thing. It's a great movement. It's a great idea, and he did great things as a president. I mean, incredible things as a president.
But I like America first.
But America first, what's the matter with saying, I want America to be first. I want America to be the top dog. You know why I like to say that? Because the American people are the most giving still today. We still give more money around the world than any other country in the world. They're the most forgiving. The American people will forgive the worst of sins as long as you atone for those sins. And they will always come to you and help you. And what I see right now is I see a Republican establishment that is missing the point. And, you know, and they all, of course, they know better. They know better, Alex. And they're going to tell us that they know better. But they're going to come for your money. They're going to be coming for your money in the coming year if they haven't already started hitting you up. And I'm going to tell you, you look at their actions. Look at their actions. Don't listen to their words and all their BS. You look at what they have done.
Use your power.
What have they that's right. What have they voted on? Have they voted on things that are America first types of things? And they get graded. All these people, all these politicians get graded, especially at that level. But, you know, to take it back down a notch, you know, we do have to get involved in the federal level of elections and pay very close attention. And don't say, well, I'm not going to go vote because I don't like those guys. Then you can't complain. But you have to get involved in the local elections, because the local elections, and the thing that I'll take it to the 60,000 foot level here, the founders created this country and created the Constitution. And the base of the Constitution is about individual liberties, right? Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness for the individual. And then they went up to the states' rights. And states' governors, there's a couple of Republican governors that who are doing nothing. They're doing nothing right now that they could be. I mean, here we are in a state. The governor of this state, he could stop the border flow right now. He could stop the illegal immigration in 24 hours if he decided, okay? And he doesn't need any federal resources. He's got plenty of great sheriffs in the state of Texas. So the states have their own sovereignty. Read it in the Constitution. I mean, it's unbelievable. The federal government wasn't given many things to do. They were not given many things to do by the founders. So what has happened is this flip, and it's occurred over the last, probably certainly the last 50 years since World War II, but even it started probably in the middle of the 18th century, where they started to chip away at the states and the individual rights, and they started to take more responsibility at the federal level.
So it's time for us to take that back.
We need to take it back. Like I just learned in Ohio, and forgive me, I don't have the name of the town, but I saw the article was basically they overturned the school board because it was people that said, we're sick of this stuff. We're tired of this. We're tired of the filth that they're teaching our elementary schools, in our elementary public schools, filth, pornography, and they're also tired of being told, it's none of your business there, Mom. It's none of your business there, Dad, what your kids are learning. right?
They even said that.
They said it. They said it. So in that one area, in that one town, it's in Ohio, and there's others. There's a great example in Iowa, and there's some other examples in some other states, but those are two that are prominent ones because they were being beaten up by the federal government and by the education system for basically wanting to know what was going on in the schools.
Did you think you, as a military man, ever wake up in a country where the Justice Department was calling mothers and fathers protesting child porn in the schools as terrorists?
Yeah, worried that they are going to be domestic terrorists. I call it the Just Us Department. It's not the Justice Department, because the Just Us Department worries about convictions instead of finding the truth. If it was a true Justice Department, right, Just Us, that's what I call it, versus the Justice. If it was a true Justice Department, it would be seeking the truth.
General Flynn, I've got a really important question for you that my listeners keep asking me to ask you. And I guess the best way to put it is like this. I know you don't desire to run for president, probably. I know we've talked privately, you know, before. You just want to take the country back. I know you're not in competition with Trump. There's only three names people talk about, really, for president that are viable. It's General Flynn, former president, current president, Donald Trump, most of us, you know, would agree and know, and somebody like DeSantis of Florida. And I just don't see DeSantis or Trump fully grasping the globalist threat. Trump more than DeSantis, and when you were advising him, he was getting us out of the WTO and parts of the UN that were destroying U.S. sovereignty. So, I mean, I'd be happy with President Trump back in. I'd be really happy if you ran for president and won. I think I like DeSantis, but, you know, you never know. He went to Yale. Who knows? But seriously, what is your view on – I know you're focused on the midterms that are now only 11 months out.
Right.
But just in general, talking to your supporters and just the American people that want you to run for president, I think you'd run. I'm pretty sure you'd win, and then you'd know how to turn this country around and get rid of the politics and not make it about liberal or conservative, make it about the country even existing and moving forward. So it's not just make America great again. How about the country not just be destroyed? I mean, that's where we're at right now. And so what is your view on the presidential election coming up? Because within a year, we're going to be in the middle of it. These things start earlier and earlier. And I know you've kept your cards close to your vest, General Flynn.
Yeah, so thanks for giving me a lot of time to think about my answer. I really believe that Donald Trump is seriously thinking about running for president, and I hope that he does. I the country got ripped off in the 3rd of November of 2020. So, and we're in a very, very difficult place right now. Here's my thing, and this is why I'm sitting here with you today. This is why I'm, you know, here in San Antonio, Texas, and we do all these things. I have grandchildren, and I'm one of nine kids. My father was a World War II vet, and my mom, right, thank God that she decided to have as many kids as she did, they handed my brothers and sisters on a silver platter a beautiful country, okay? I am not about to take that platter that I was given and turn it over to my children and my grandchildren as a communist country. And folks, you better be ready, because that's what we are facing. And everybody in this country that I talk to, and I talk to thousands and thousands of people, they're very, very concerned about the direction of the country. And you should be, rightly so. But you have to not let fear overcome the courage that you have. And I do think that courage, I believe strongly that courage is a decision. And so what my decision, you know, will be in the future, you know, is just something that I think about this country, you know, every waking minute, because I am so worried about what is happening. It's like we're having our store robbed, and we're just standing there and we're allowing it to happen. And so people, don't allow this to happen. Get involved. I like to say local action, national impact. That's not just a willy-nilly kind of phrase. That is a very, very serious thing. And don't complain. Don't come to me and complain if you don't get involved. Don't come to me and start pointing fingers at other people. Point fingers at yourself.
So you're saying if Trump doesn't run, maybe you will run if there's a vacuum there?
I think that what happens on the battlefield, and we're in a battlefield, what happens on the battlefield is people rise to the occasion. So I hope that there's a lot of people around this country who are like me and like-minded like me, And I think that people will rise to that occasion when the time comes.
So you're saying now's not the time to make an announcement. One way or another, if we don't have a champion on the field, you're going to get in the game.
If champions don't exist, but they exist. They exist out there. And not everybody has to be, you know, a Washington, D.C. superstar, right? So I want people to be a champion, right? Look at yourself like you're a champion. I mean, you know, we're going around with trying to talk to pastors. There's so many good leaders in this country. There's a business community in this country that hates what's happening. You know, all these crazy decisions coming out of Washington, D.C. You know, we're at 1% inflation a year ago. Today we're at 6%. I mean, so that's crazy. So it's really just up for the people to stand up. Yeah. I mean, I'm not dancing around your question because I hate politics, but I am deeply involved in politics because politics is what surrounds our entire livelihood right now. And we are going to lose this country. We are going to lose this democracy. We're going to lose this constitutional republic if we don't get involved in our community.
I totally agree. And let's get these other great guys in here with you, General. I really appreciate all the time. I'm just going to say this. You're already traveling around the country working hard to keep people organized and ready and, mm-hmm. and empowering them and force multiplying. You're doing a beautiful job. And I just think that you could accelerate that if you went ahead soon and did declare that you were running an America First party or something, and that if Trump did run and then built up, that you'd swing that support over. I mean, I think that would energize what you're doing even more, but that's my opinion. I know you talked to Trump. I think he would understand that you're not angling to undercut him. And I just can't wait to be part of this with you, General. And thank you so much.
Thanks, Alex. Appreciate
amazing
it. Thanks
interview.
Thanks for having me on the time.
How do folks find what you're doing and support it and promote it? Because they're trying to censor you and others. Yeah. Listeners out there have to magnify what you're doing.
Yeah, one thing that I'd like to promote here is the America Project. AmericaProject.com. They can text 84576, 84576. Go to the AmericaProject.com. And, you know, and for all the crazy people on the Insurrection Crucifixion Commission, you know, what they ought to do instead of subpoenaing me, they ought to subpoena Pat Burns, who we're going to bring on here in a minute.
All right. Take a break. Get him in here. Thanks for waiting. That was amazing. That was over the top. You know what Mark Zuckerberg's doing? It came out more than 5 years ago in his own company documents when whistleblowers warned the world that he was trying to isolate people to be only on Facebook and to be depressed and alone so that avatars or fake computer identities would be their only friends, thus taking full control of the user's mind. That's just a beta test for what's now rolling out with Facebook claiming ownership of the metaverse and buying up hundreds of VR companies, and now trying to force its users and employees to solely live in a fantasy world controlled and orchestrated by Zuckerberg and the organizations that he works with. This priest class wants to lock us in our five senses here in the third dimension. And to do that, they're creating an artificial electronic prison or matrix to seduce us into giving up control of our bodies and our minds. This is the greatest deception ever. Evil is digging in because it knows humanity is waking up and that group consciousness is forming and that we are beginning to transcend the third dimension. Everything that's being launched against us is an attempt to hold us in the third dimension and not just enslave us, but finally completely destroy us and absorb our energy into this system they're building. This is beyond a satanic ritual. This is beyond anything you've read about in science fiction, because this is actually happening in the real world today. And we have discovered their secrets. We've discovered how to stop them. And we have put it all together in an easy to understand system that gives you the tools to not just defeat the globalists, but to transcend to the next level. It's so important for all of you that already know this innately and have already witnessed this for yourself to understand. You are the leaders of the future that must go to the next level so that you and I and others working together can free the rest of humanity before they get trapped in this artificial matrix system the globalists are building.
All I'm offering is the truth.
The film The Matrix, made in 1999, is not original. Documents came out in 1990 from the late 1970s where NASA and DARPA were developing a plan very similar to The Matrix. And all that information is now public. They're attempting to seduce us to give up our five senses, not just holding us in the third dimension, but actually creating an artificial slave system so that they can turn us into their programmable slaves. Humanity are not robots, no matter how many times Ray Kurzweil and the social engineers tell us this, but they are trying to turn us into robots. That's why in December of 2021, we are launching Reset Wars. Find out more information at ResetWars.com.
We will not comply with the institution's sick illusion. No, it won't be televised. Welcome to the revolution.